inside the 10. Barr jumps it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Watching greatness on one end in LeBron. There's a dude with 35 in white getting it done defensively and then offensively. Taking over the fight. Mama, there goes that man.
And welcome back to this week's edition of the Waterboy Experience. I am your host, the Waterboy himself, Davis McLemore, and we got a lot of NFL to cover this week. We got some playoff games happening. We're going to find out who's fake and who's real this week, and I believe we have some Formula One news as well to cover. But here to help me tackle all of that is my good friend, the CEO and CFO of Nibe Productions, the Red Bull chugging son of a gun himself, Mr. Jason Shaddix. He's no faker. Jason, how are you?
I'm ecstatic this weekend. I'm ecstatic today because we won our playoff game.
You sure did.
We beat the Los Angeles Rams. We beat our old boy, Matthew Stafford. Jared Goff managed to give the middle finger to his former team. And we're just running high like never before.
First time in over 30 years you guys have won a playoff game.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. It was a great performance. I mean, you've got some great players on that team. And next you're going to have the Buccaneers, who are riding off of the victory from the Dallas Cowboys, who we'll get to them in a minute. But I mean,
is it really like riding a victory when you know it's a sure victory from the get-go?
That's true, I guess. But I don't know. Things are looking up for the Lions right now. You have a very winnable game against the Buccaneers. And I think you'll be meeting either the 49ers or the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
You know what's funny, though? Baker Mayfield was traded from the Panthers to the Browns. And then the Browns let him...
No. From the Browns to the Panthers.
Oh, right. My bad. From the Browns to the Panthers. Wait a minute. Wasn't he traded back to the Browns?
No. He only had one stint on the Browns.
Okay, so Browns to the Panthers, to the Bucks,
to the Rams, to the Bucks,
to the Rams. No, was he in the Rams last year?
Yeah, he was on the Rams for like a very short minute.
But I'm talking about between like this year and last year.
Oh yeah, he was on the Panthers.
Yeah, he was on the Panthers last year. Yeah, that's why I'm not going all the way back to his career. I'm talking about in like recent times.
Okay, yeah.
He was in the Browns, he was in the Panthers, and now he's with the Buccaneers. Who all this year we've kind of been saying, well, they're not going anywhere. They're in the freaking playoffs, and they beat the Eagles. Granted, it was a team that didn't have all their weapons. Now they have one less weapon because Jason Kelce has announced his retirement.
Yes, that is true. Jason Kelce, my favorite Kelce. I think both of our favorite Kelces.
I like Travis a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't. But he's out and he's retired, so successful career on his part, being I think 13 Pro Bowls or something like that.
13 Pro Bowls. He's got one Super Bowl ring. He was hoping to get that last one before he retired.
Just slipped away, and so he's calling it quit.
Yeah, I'm blaming Jalen Hurts for this one. This is all on him.
So let's play another finger pointing game. The Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now.
Wait, who played the Texans?
The Cleveland Browns.
Okay, let's add the Cleveland Browns to that.
Well, we don't have to add the Browns to that. Well, the Browns are the Browns.
Well, we personally expected a little bit more from the Browns. I'm glad they made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? You made it this far.
With, what is this, the third or second backup to the original quarterback?
Third.
Joe Flacco did an amazing job to just get to the playoffs.
Do you bring him back next year?
I would, but I would bring him up as a backup and see what's going to go happen with there. Because if you make Joe Flacco your main quarterback, I just don't think that's a good idea in the long run. But if he's your backup, look, if you get a new kid, if you get rid of Deshaun Watson, which I would most likely say get rid of him.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't done shit.
hasn't he won like 8 games in 2 seasons?
Yeah.
Because he got suspended in 22.
No,
22, remember, because that's when we started the podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
22, and then 23, he's been hurt.
Yep.
So Deshaun Watson is not the way to go. And he was hurt when he first debuted it, too, because he got hurt not long after starting the season. So I would say, you know what? Get rid of Deshaun. Draft a new kid, someone young, someone with who needs experience, and let Joe train him and be like, okay, kid, this is what you want to do, blah, 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 blah. Just put him behind Joe. Let him let Joe guide him. And when the kid, because he's still a young kid, he's going to be a rookie. When he's like, okay, he's not delivering, Joe, get in there. We're not benching you for the rest of the season. We're benching you for the rest of this game because we think Joe can do what you cannot do at the moment and just build him. And I think that's the best usage of Joe. And I think that's the only way that the Browns can recover because yes, you got to the playoffs right now, but you lost. Now it's time to start thinking about next year. It's time to evolve the team and you have to think of different ways because everybody's evolving. Nobody's staying the same.
I mean, the exact strategy you're talking about, you know, letting a young quarterback sit behind a more experienced quarterback is exactly what the Green Bay Packers did with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. And when Aaron Rodgers left, Jordan Love came up and took him a few games to get settled in, but now they're in the playoffs and
we discarded him.
Yeah, we threw him away. We thought he was trash. But I mean, he's looking great out there right now. I don't know what's going on. But they were able to beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Granted, it was a given win.
It was handed to them, but still, he looked great. He looked a hell of a lot better than Dak. And people still think Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback.
He was never an elite quarterback.
Never. Never. So how many times am I going to be fooled by the Dallas Cowboys?
None, because you've never been fooled by
Well, earlier this year, I was hyping on them like, I don't know, they might be legit.
What did I say?
I don't know. You said no. And now look at it. You were right.
I mean,
they're not.
It's kind of like,
but you can understand, you know, you can understand where I would be fooled. I mean, they finished the regular season 11 and no. They finished the regular season like what, 12-5? Made it into the number 2 seed in the playoffs.
Similar to the Lions, I believe.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you look at the Lions and you look at how, okay, you have Dan who is building that team up, who's getting that morale up, who's pushing beyond belief. Meanwhile, the Cowboys have historically done this. They've started out good. They've had a nice little strong push. And then in the middle, they're starting to waver, but people are like, okay. You know, it tends to happen. A little bit of fatigue. They need their bye week, get a little bit of rest up. And then at the end, they just crash and burn.
In the first round of the playoffs, every single year.
Exactly.
So, looking at that Dallas Cowboys team, don't say everybody, but who has to go?
Dak. Dak has to go.
Okay.
He's been there, what, 5 years?
Quite a few. I think that's right.
Look, people have been questioning Dak, and I know they like to pretend during the season that, oh, no, Dak is MVP. Dak is, because remember when they were saying he's MVP, he's the player of the year.
Yeah, he has never proven himself when it counts, ever. He can't even
prove himself when he's getting a tattoo.
When he needs to prove himself, he cannot do it. And it's frustrating to a young wide receiver like CeeDee Lamb, who's a hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
He didn't have a good quarterback. That's why Tony Pollard, their running back, great running back, he's leaving because he didn't want to stay there.
Do you blame him?
I don't blame him. Not one bit. And I think he could make millions of dollars on another team as a first down running back. He'd be great. But Jerry Jones has this infatuation with Dak Prescott. That is his
Zach Wilson.
I would say that is his Tom Brady.
The difference is Tom actually showed results.
Tom showed results, and he played honestly when he needed to.
The better comparison would be Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Except Aaron at least won one Super Bowl.
Aaron, you know what? Aaron played when he needed to play every now and then.
It's just, A lot of people are saying that Jerry Jones just wants a head coach who's a yes man.
Well, and the other rumor is, apparently, Jerry Jones is pushing hard for the Dallas Cowboys to hire Bill Belichick as their next head coach.
Makes sense. And from what I've been able to gather online, Bill Belichick wants to join a team who's under-delivering, but who has a lot of potential.
And they do have a lot of potential.
Except I believe that the one team that fits that the description is the Lions. But yeah, you don't want to get rid of Dan Campbell.
You're not gonna get rid of him.
So his choices are, based on what I'm seeing, the Falcons, which...
No, not the Falcons.
No, they're saying the Falcons. People are saying the Falcons and the Chargers, which both teams don't show enough for me to go, okay, you just need that little piece to push you forward. No, you guys are not good.
You want to know what I think? I think we will see Bill Belichick in the Kelly Green next year in Philadelphia.
That's true. The head coach got fired.
Yep. Well, he's not fired, but they want him gone. He was getting popcorn buckets thrown at him. He's out of here.
He's basically fired without everybody. It's an open secret.
Yeah. He hasn't shown up to the office in the past few days. Let's just say.
Would you?
No. After that, no.
Honestly.
The whole team's mad at you. Yeah. But if you want to walk into a team that's ready to win, that's ready to be Super Bowl contenders, and you want to take that team to the next level, I think that that is the perfect team. Because look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They're ready. They have the talent.
But they're losing weapons.
They are losing weapons.
Jason is retired. And then somebody else announced, he's a Eagles player. I can't remember his name. But he announced today that this next year is going to be his last year with them.
This next year is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and here's the thing. Bill Belichick's going to come in, but that does not mean that immediately he's going to win everything. Because you have to give it a minute for the head coach to assemble to the team, to the way that the players are playing, because you can't be like, all right, we're going to do it my way and my way only. It's like, no, you have to go, all right, what works for you guys? Because right. I didn't choose you.
Well, and the other thing that I'm thinking is, yes, Jason Kelce is gone, but if you get Bill Belichick, he is one of the best drafters in the NFL when it comes to hand-picking guys. I mean, the guy handpicked Tom Brady.
How's Mac Jones working out?
Mac Jones is different. The guy handpicked, there's not every shot hits, but you got Tom Brady, you got Randy Moss. I think they drafted Randy Moss. Julian Edelman, you got Rob Gronkowski. I mean, he knows talent when he sees them. So to draft a good center, I think, would be their number one priority to replace Jason Kelce, which if you find a player good enough to play Jason Kelce, I'd be very shocked, but you can certainly get close.
I will say that I at least am happy that Jason retired on his own will. Like, he's like, okay, you know what? Whatever happens this year, this is my last year. I'm sure he's thinking, because he's 36, he's thinking, I can't do this for much longer.
We got to back up on that. This is just announced as of 4 minutes ago. The Eagles are keeping head coach Nick Sirianni for the 2024 season.
So they couldn't get Bill.
I guess they couldn't get Bill. Another one I want to mention.
Never mind, it's not an open secret anymore.
Yeah, it's not an open secret anymore.
God damn it, just as soon as we say it.
I got two more that I want to announce. Dennis Allen is staying as the head coach for the New Orleans Saints.
I saw that. That is stupid.
That is very fucking stupid. And also, Mike McCarthy will stay the Dallas Cowboys head coach for the 2024 season.
Bullshit. Oh my God.
Yes.
Well, nothing's going to change then. Everything we just said.
Where the fuck is Bill going?
14 minutes. We just went on stuff that immediately...
Forget all of that. It's happening now. I mean, this post was literally made 6 minutes ago about Mike McCarthy returning as Dallas Cowboys head coach.
And then I have a little bit of a news. This was from 22 hours ago. The Falcons announced that Jim Harbaugh for they're interviewing Jim for their vacancy as the head coach, and that's officially announced.
Well, that's good. I really do think he's going to land with the Chargers, though.
Oh, by the way, do you know that Tua, and because we're looking at our phones right now, looking for more updates on all this that we're talking about.
Something had to have happened.
Do you know that Tua has a brother who's also a quarterback?
Yes. Some complicated name, Tagovailoa.
Talia
Tagovailoa.
Yeah. So he's a former quarterback from Maryland, and he had his basically, he wanted to stay another year in the NCAA, and they kind of waived it, and now it's been announced that he's going for the draft.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder how far he's going to get.
Not
in
far.
That draft. I remember when he was at Alabama, there were several people saying he was better than Tua, and then he just never really panned out. So I'm interested to see what he can do.
That's true. Oh, and then one more thing I want to mention before we move on, because we're kind of dragging on this. There were 15 injuries this past Saturday when the Dolphins and the Chiefs played.
Now, these are not players, correct?
No. This is our fans who received frostbite and just general, I guess, falling and being like, oh, fuck, that hurt.
And slipping and falling. I heard somewhere that this was like frostbite and hypothermia.
Yes, that's what I was seeing too, which I don't think it's like full-on frostbite and hypothermia. I think it's like, okay, you're starting to get close to that
region,
buddy.
You're getting there. But the other thing is, you know, look at all the stupid things Bills Mafia do before their games.
No, I'm talking Chiefs and Dolphins.
Oh, Chiefs and Dolphins.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to get news that happened with the Bill Mafia.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there a video going around of some guy body slamming like something this past Monday?
I think so. I mean, it's always a tradition that somebody goes through a Sterlite table.
Before we move on, I do want to mention a rumor that's going on, and, well, it's not much of a rumor, it's just, it involves the Raiders.
Rumors and speculation, baby.
We still don't have a definitive answer if AP, Antonio Pierce, is going to stay as the head coach, and we have confirmation from Max Crosby himself saying that if AP doesn't get hired, I'm looking for a different team.
Yes, and there are, you know, it hasn't been public yet, but I'm sure there are many other players on that team that have voiced that. I'm sure Josh Jacobs is one of them. I'm sure Devontae is one of them. Several guys. I'm sure most of that defense feels the same way. But the reason it has not happened yet is because of a stupid little rule. It's called the Art Rooney rule. Basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, basically, an NFL team, when looking for a head coach candidate, has to interview at least two candidates. And if that team is in the playoffs, they have to wait until after the divisional round. Now,
wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No one from Bill Belichick to the Raiders were in the playoffs.
No. But that doesn't have anything to do with it. Also, they interviewed somebody that was out of the playoffs.
Wait a minute. It doesn't also make any sense because if you're interim head coach, wouldn't that just mean that we're agreeing to...
Nope. Okay,
it's not like re-signing the head coach and be like, okay, nope. you're re-signed.
Nope, you have to be hired, basically. Hired back on as a head coach. So they'll interview Antonio Pierce and they have to interview someone else.
Well, it's either Bill Belichick or Jim Harbaugh.
It was neither Bill Belichick or Jim Harbaugh. Because think about it this way. Those two guys, they want big money and they want real opportunities. They're not going to go waste their time on some other team that they know is not going to get them.
But here's the thing.
They don't want to waste their time with the Raiders. They want to go to teams that are desperate to have them. The Raiders are just as fine taking Antonio Pierce. So that's why they'll interview, I can't even remember the name of the guy they interviewed, but they interviewed a nobody just to fill that spot. You know, nobody recognized the name. So a lot of signs right now are pointing to Antonio Pierce returning as the Raiders head coach next season. According to the Art Rooney rule, he's being hired as the head coach for next season.
Watch him say that Antonio is not going to get hired.
Oh my gosh, don't even play with me like that. But here's an interesting little loophole.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we forgot to mention, because we didn't mention it last week, because it came out the day after Bill Belichick retired.
Yeah. We forgot to mention that. We were talking about Bill Belichick being gone, but yeah, Bill Belichick retired, and Gerard Mayo, I believe is his name, took his place.
Did he have to interview?
No. And I will tell you why. Long before Bill Belichick retired, this has been planned out. The New England Patriots submitted a written plan to the NFL committee saying this is the way things are going to go. As soon as Bill Belichick retires in the next season or two or months or however it was, our next guy is going to be Gerard Mayo. This is planned out. This is the way it's going to be. And that's how they got out of doing that, because they had a written plan for it. The Raiders didn't have a written plan for it just yet. You know, you still want to think about, you still want to weigh your options, but that's the way it is.
That's stupid.
It is stupid, but
both are stupid.
It's the NFL.
Nothing can be done easily.
But look, what I'm thinking is, you know, since this has obviously been planned out for a while, Gerard Mayo taking over Bill Belichick's spot, now I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe he's a little more ready for this than we think he is. Maybe he sat and listened to Bill talk about head coaching, or I don't know. Maybe he went to some conferences. I don't know. But we'll see how he does with the New England Patriots. I don't expect them to be making the playoffs anytime soon, but we'll see if we can see some improvement.
Here's my question, though. Bill Belichick has had an illustrious career. There's no denying that. One of the greatest football coaches of all time. But he hasn't been doing well for, what, half a decade now?
He hasn't been doing good since Tom left.
Tom didn't leave. That's the thing.
Tom was kicked. Yeah. He hasn't been doing good since Tom got
fired.
The boot.
Yeah. He got fired.
Yeah.
And then he was like, fuck you. I'm going to go win a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers.
And he did.
And he did.
He did exactly what he said that season.
And then the Buccaneers failed him the next season. And he's like, fuck this. I'm done.
Yeah. And then he just sat at home. He didn't need to. He proved his point.
Would you want to hire Bill Belichick if he couldn't make lightning strike twice with the Patriots?
What makes you think he'll make lightning strike again? And that's why
I'm questioning it.
Right. And you have every right to question that, because I'm questioning it too.
Because I'm thinking, okay, it's kind of how we talked about, who was that coach for the Broncos? Or was it the Broncos? Oh, no. It was the guy from the Seahawks, the head coach.
Pete Carroll. Yeah.
You were talking about how he said in his old ways, and that way of playing football is gone and done.
Yeah.
So is the way of Bill Belichick. There's no denying that, because you could say, well, Mac Jones wasn't the answer, but Bill can make a team work. He made the Patriots work for a very long time, over a decade now. So you have to question, okay, did Bill lose his edge?
Which is a possibility that I'm considering. And, you know, it depends on the team that he's going to. Will he drag that team down, or does he still have something to offer?
I don't think he has anything to offer.
I mean, I don't think he's going to do a terrible job wherever he lands. Clearly, it's not. I don't see a roster available to where he can walk in that door and win now. Everybody else that's remaining still has a lot of holes to plug. It still has a lot of work to be done.
And it's a never-ending battle of plugging those holes. New holes come in. Everybody, new players come in. Everything changes. There's no consistency in the NFL, except during that time period where the only consistency was every other year the Patriots were winning.
Right. So then if you walk into another team, how is that any different than the situation that you walked in, that you were in New England? You know, it depends. The other thing is, and we got to talk about Jim Harbaugh real quick. There are a lot of options out there for Jim Harbaugh to play, or not to play, to coach in the NFL. And he's thinking about it. He's really working on it. But here's my question. Why would you go coach for a bad NFL team that is mediocre, not ready to win now, and you're not going to make a whole lot of money utilizing their talents, when you can just stay at Michigan for another couple of years, rake in the big money, and win a few more national championships?
because there's no guarantee that they're going to win a few more.
There's no guarantee, but there's also no guarantee that him returning to the NFL is going to work out.
It's probably because
there's no, but there's not. Again, he's in the same boat as Bill Belichick. There's not really a team that is ready for you to win now. If you want to coach in the NFL right now, you're going to have to walk into a team and rebuild it yourself over several years.
Even if you take over a winning team, like say Bill Belichick takes over the Ravens, okay? And you have Lamar Jackson, you have all these great players, these great weapons. Again, you're going to have to adapt to how they play because these are not rookies. These are guys who are seasoned. These are guys who have their own way of playing football. And clearly for the Ravens, it's been somewhat fruitful.
Oh, yeah.
Not Super Bowl fruitful, but it's been fruitful enough where right now they're the ones who are looking to go to the Super Bowl. They're most likely.
Favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you, by the way, because we got to fight them.
I know, but I know, still. Fuck you.
No, but my point is, even if he takes over the Ravens, if they win the Super Bowl, okay, and he takes over the Ravens the day after, what makes you think, or anybody think, that that's a team that's already won the Super Bowl, that's a team that's ready? That doesn't mean he's going to actually manage to win out of them. I think, if anything, they're going to go down because he's going to want to implement his styles. And how many offensive coordinators, how many defense coordinators, how many people with experience or who are relatively new but have some years under the belt are going to go, hey, Bill, that's not going to work, not with this team. How are they going to go up against Bill Belichick, who has more rings than pretty much any other head coach in the NFL? Let's put that in the NFL. How are they going to feel comfortable saying, no, that doesn't work in this team? That's not how we play. And not have Bill go, well, I'm Bill Belichick. Yeah, I'm Bill fucking Belichick. I know what I'm fucking doing.
And you can't deny that he knows what he's doing right now. I mean, you just have to see how things play out.
Again, going back to what we were saying earlier, his way of football is gone and done.
And here's the other thing. Now, I know Jim Harbaugh has made it to a Super Bowl before, where he played, coincidentally, his brother, who was the head coach of the 49ers. No, Jim was the head coach of the 49ers. His brother was the head coach of the Ravens at the time, who is still head coach of the Ravens, actually. They played each other in the Super Bowl, and Jim Harbaugh lost. And he left the NFL, and he went on to Michigan after a while. And he's had success in Michigan, but now if he's looking to come back to the NFL, is that going to translate well, his talents in college football? Or
no, it's a different game.
Or is it a Nick Saban situation where Nick Saban was the head coach of the Dolphins for a few years? It did not work out well at all. He went back to college football and he's a fucking star.
It's not going to work just because it's a different ball game.
Totally.
So there's no guarantee that he... Look, there's no fucking guarantee he's going to make Michigan win another championship next year. There's no guarantee of that.
No.
Because you still have to contend with Georgia.
Yeah, and you have a lot of people that are committed to the draft. So does Georgia.
And now, I'm sure it's going to be easier now that Nick is retired and Alabama is going to be in the hands of who God knows who. And there's no guarantee that person's going to make Alabama look good. I think this is the start of people going, in a few years, they're going to look back. Do you remember those good old days back when Alabama was good? Because you know they're going to say it. Because who can replace Nick Saban?
Nobody.
Exactly. Just like, who can replace Bill Belichick? Nobody, but their time has come and their time has gone. And I think for Jim, if you want to make as much money as possible, make sure you get a guaranteed contract if a team in the NFL wants you. And he said he's not leaving Michigan unless they give him over $100 million. And if a team is stupid enough to give him $100 million, then he takes his money. As soon as they fire him, which is going to be in a season or two because he doesn't show results, he's going to go home and he's going to be like the head coach for the University of Texas, who's just sitting there twiddling with his dicks. I shouldn't say that. He's sitting there with a drink in his hand, sitting by the pool, reading whatever they're reading, and he's just raking in the money.
And then he can answer the phone when Michigan calls because they're like, hey, we want you to come back and play for us. Here's another $100 million. And then he can go back and then all is well, whatever.
He's got his great, 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 great grandchildren's college tuition paid.
Oh, yeah. He probably does already. Here's one thing. It's not a question anymore. Here's one thing. A lot of people have been asking the question, you know, just while we're on the topic, who's the better head coach, Nick Saban or Bill Belichick? Now, Nick Saban could not do what Bill Belichick did. Bill Belichick could not do what Nick Saban has done.
I think overall, I know you didn't, you said it was not a question, but it's basically a question.
Yeah, I mean, you can answer.
Nick Saban is the better head coach because look how many players have come through Alabama and have gone to the NFL.
If you They're look, a factory.
If you look at the ratio of athletes, football athletes who go from college to NFL, I bet you Alabama has the highest percentage of success. Now, whether they're successful in the NFL is a whole nother game, but look who's a starter to this day because they play in Alabama. Tua?
Jalen?
Jalen Hurts.
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
I mean, these are big names.
Exactly.
In the NFL.
We're not just talking about Joe, who the fuck you are, and stuff like that. No. No, we're talking about
stars.
Stars. People who, to this day, they're debating whether Jalen Hurts is worth the money that he's been given. So, I think Nick Saban is just the better one just because he saw more talent than Bill.
And also, who ended up drafting a lot of his players?
Exactly.
Bill Belichick.
Who helped them mold into the players they would become in the NFL? Nick Saban. The NFL might be a little bit more prestigious than college just because it's a bigger thing. But at the end of the day, if you look at the stadiums, for example, and I was seeing a video about this British guy, and he was like, you look at the world's biggest stadiums, not just the one-offs like the World Cup, which it's huge and all that, but at the end of the day, it's used once and that's it, and it's done. A lot of the college stadiums in the U.S. are in that top 10 list, more than any other country. So college is big in the U.S., not maybe not international like the NFL, but the effect that Nick Saban has on football is felt all around.
Yeah, absolutely. He makes ripples in the NFL,
he makes splashes involved. Where other people make ripples.
And another thing I want to mention, if you have played for Alabama in the past 20-something years, for all 4 years of college, you have won at least one national championship.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Better than most people.
A lot better than most people. So, I'm scrolling on my phone right now, and I find a post from ESPN NFL on Instagram. This looks like a reporter of some name called Seth Walder. This is his 2023 NFL MVP ballot. These are 10 picks, and I want you to try and take a pick of who these people are.
Patrick Mahomes.
Well, hold on.
Patrick Mahomes.
This is number 10. Who's number 10 on his list?
Fucking Jason Kelce.
No, Brock Purdy.
Really? That low?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It gets worse. It gets worse.
Wait. If this gets worse, is Joe Flacco on there?
No, Joe Flacco is not on there. But another Browns player that is on there at number 9, defensive end Myles Garrett, which is okay because he is a big contender for defensive player of the year, but out of that fandom,
who knows his fucking name?
Right. The next few picks you're not going to really care about. It's when we get to the big ones.
Okay, so just give them.
Okay. Number 8, Micah Parsons.
Okay.
For Dallas Cowboys. Number 7, this one shocked me. Number 7, Christian McCaffrey.
That low?
Yeah. It gets worse. Number 6, CeeDee Lamb for Dallas Cowboys.
I'm starting to see a trend here.
Number 5, the Dolphins' very own Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
It's a fair spot for him.
5, yeah. Okay. I can see it.
Number 4, the Kansas City Chiefs' very own Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Number three, Lamar Jackson.
Fair enough.
Number two, Josh Allen.
What? No fucking way.
Guess who number one is?
It's not Dak, is it?
Number one.
Oh, my.
For the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott.
Oh, my God. How much did Jerry Jones have to pay him?
Seth Walder, you should never, ever, ever make a list in your life again. Don't even make a grocery list.
MVP, the most valuable player. He wasn't the most valuable player.
Dak Prescott.
The team didn't fail Dak. Dak failed the team.
Yes. It was bad at Josh Allen. Then it got worse.
You weren't kidding. It just got worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was Seth Welder's 2023 NFL MVP ballot. He thinks Dak Prescott should win the MVP.
Where's the ring? You want to be the most valuable player? Stand out and take your team to the Super Bowl.
Out of those players, who do you think should win the MVP? I'll give you the top five again.
Lamar Jackson. He's the most valuable candidate. Most valid candidate to win most valuable player. But I don't know. We got to wait and see. But let's talk about the Lions game, because we've been talking about everything else but the Lions game. And I watched that fucking game, mate.
All right, let's talk about it a little bit. What did you see? Did you take notes while you watched
this? Yes, I did.
Oh, sweet. Well, let's talk about it.
First off, I do have to say this is a little bit ironic. We were playing at home field, the Ford Field, okay? And you know what the halftime, who sponsored the halftime?
Red Bull.
Toyota.
Oh, okay.
Ford couldn't open their wallet and be like, hey, we're playing at home. Toyota, go fuck yourself, all right?
This is in Ford Field.
Exactly.
Sponsored by Toyota.
And then there was after the game, there was another car company that sponsored the after show. And I'm like, come on, Ford. No, it was Chevy. Okay, but anyway, we were doing good the first half of the game, man. We were whooping their asses. But when halftime came, they got their fucking bearings and they started to make a comeback. And the game, our defense and our offense were playing magnificently, but so were theirs. And my God, we were getting our asses just handed to us by, what's his fucking face?
Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua is one of them. By the way, that guy, he's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff that I'm like, God, I wish our guys were doing that. But Amit St. Brown, fucking man.
Oh, yeah.
He was great.
They're both tremendous, but I think Puka Nacua broke the playoff record for the most receiving yards in a game.
Yeah, I think
so. 185.
Yeah, he was doing good, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
Glad that we beat him, because he was being a pain in our ass. But the other player who we ended up taking out, and he's out for God knows how long, is the tight end Tyler Higbee. Did you see that hit?
Yes, I did. He's going to be down for a while, but
ACL confirmed.
Yeah, that might be through next year. But Tyler Higbee has been consistently a great tight end in the league, and I kind of lost track of him there. I didn't know what team he was on.
He was a pain in our ass, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
He's a great player, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad that he got taken out.
You were able to slow him down.
No. I'm glad they hurt him. I'm glad.
Don't say that.
I'm glad they ripped his ACL in half.
And
I was hoping for Matthews.
Come on.
Look, I was hoping that, man, if we can only just, Puka, if we could just rip his other ACL, oh, that's it. The game is ours.
What'd you think about Matthew Stafford?
Matt played well. I wouldn't say it's his best game ever. He was making mistakes, and it's one of the reasons why we were able to get an upper hand on him at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because I think we really got to him.
You want to talk about a quarterback that played a hell of a game, Jared Goff.
He did. Now,
he did great.
He wasn't perfect. He made a mistake. He ended up tripping at one of the points, and it was. I'm just like, dude, really, right now you have to trip? If you lose this game, you're never going to live that down. But it was a tight game. The Rams got two touchdowns in, and we only got one. And it would come down to fourth down. and we would have to kick the ball. They would have to kick the ball. So it was one of those things, and they were taking timeouts. And I was thinking, why are we taking timeouts? Why are we saving that up? And then we got to like 23 and 24, and we managed to have St. Brown get close enough to the, like, basically just play the clock. We did that. And then when we got down to about a minute and a half, we just started taking knees, and that's how we won the game.
Yeah.
Which, it's not the proudest win. Like, I would have loved to win by a touchdown and been like, motherfucker, take that. But we won.
Yeah. I mean, at least it happened.
And I've told you, if the Lions are going to win a game in the playoffs, it's going to be a close, tight-lit game. Tight-lit.
Well, do you want to go?
Where?
To the Lions and Buccaneers game.
Where are they playing?
They're playing in Detroit. You want to know how much tickets are?
How much?
$1,186 a ticket.
Is that the cheap seats?
Yes.
Oh my God.
This is the highest priced divisional playoff game ever.
Well, we haven't reached this high since, what, 1993?
Yeah. Who in Detroit can afford that, number one?
Well, they managed to afford the tickets for the first playoff game.
Yeah, that's true.
We sold out 60,000 people.
Yeah, but now it's like $1,000 a ticket, over $1,000 a ticket.
Dude, the way things are going, they're going to pay for those tickets. They're going to sell their grandma. They're going to sell their kids. They're going to like, yeah, we're going to go to the Super Bowl.
To see that, yeah.
We're going to go see our teams play in the second round of the
playoffs.
Imagine
paying, like, if you brought a family of four and you drop about $4,000, not to mention the fees and shit included.
Oh, you're looking at a good $6,000.
45, maybe 5,000.
$6,000.
Pushing $6,000, maybe.
No,
and
easily.
You go all the way to watch your Detroit Lions play, even to watch your Buccaneers play, and they lose.
If we're close next year again. Look, we haven't had this kind of victory since 93, 30 years.
Yeah.
Dude, they showed this guy. He was like an 89-year-old guy. He's been a season ticket holder for like 60-something years. He was there when they won a championship game before it became the NFL. He was there when they won the playoff game in 93. And then he's there this year when we won another playoff
game. That's a loyalty right there.
Not only is that loyalty, but it also shows how much we fucking sucked for so long.
You sucked so bad, you kept this old fart alive.
Yeah, I bet you he was going, I'm not going to die until I see my boys go to the playoffs again.
Until I see him win a Super Bowl. You might have to live a few more years for that, but we'll see.
Actually, the way we're playing, he might not have to.
I don't know. It's just the problem of who's going to win between the Packers and the 49ers. If the Packers win in the NFC title game, is the Lions.
I thought the Packers were playing the Ravens.
No. That's their NFC pack. Ravens are AFC.
Oh, that's right.
No. If the Niners can beat the Packers, that is not an extremely manageable game for the Lions in the NFC championship game. Because I think you guys can beat the Buccaneers.
It's not an I think. I know we can beat the Buccaneers.
Well, you could beat anybody except for the 49ers.
We lost to the 49ers already. We
Yeah.
That's why I'm hoping that the Niners make mistakes. And it's one of those seasons where you're like, how the fuck did these teams get to the...
All three of the teams that we thought could have been the best in the league, they all fucking lost.
I think if we play the Chiefs...
Chaos ensues, and now it's just fucking crazy.
Imagine if we play the Chiefs.
You guys could beat the Chiefs. You did it.
I think psychologically, already, we'd be fucking with them.
Oh, yeah.
If we beat the Bucks, okay, I'm saying we have a shot, especially if Green Bay wins against the 49ers. If they beat the 49ers, I don't care if it's controversy all around. If they beat the 49ers, we got a fucking chance. And you know what? I think the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs. And I genuinely believe that. I can see the Texans getting an upper hand on the Ravens. Because maybe the Ravens will go, it's the fucking Texans, we don't need to try. And then, damn, they win.
If that happens, then all hell has just fucking broken loose, and I don't know what to do anymore.
I do. Buy a Lions cap.
No thanks, I'm good.
Or you rather stick to your Raiders cap?
I would, actually, thank you very much.
Come on, you gotta support somebody.
I support the Raiders.
What if they go, well, you know what, we're not gonna hire AP.
Oh, well then, fuck you, I'm gonna be a fucking Browns fan now.
With Sean Watson as your quarterback?
Yeah,
join
might
us.
As well.
Join us! Join us playing with the Lions. Join us
no.
cheering them on. Why not?
Because we have to have two different favorite teams. That's the premise of the podcast, is we have two different teams.
Yeah, Red Bull and Lions.
Yeah, you have Red Bull and Lions. I have McLaren and the Raiders.
Which, we're ready to go home, but we're going to quickly talk about this, all right? Because you brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
On the 16th of January, out of nowhere, McLaren has revealed their new livery, and it's all papaya with a dash of chrome.
I like it. I think it looks pretty cool.
I think this might be the first time, at the very least the first time in a very long time, that a team has said, fuck it, we're not going to give you a launch date. We're doing it right now, right here.
It's gutsy.
It's gutsy, and it says, I think we got a car. I think we have a beast.
We're so excited. We can't hold on to this baby. We're going to drop it right now.
You know, we only have, I think, 2, maybe 3 weeks in between the Super Bowl and Formula One testing.
Huh. I didn't know that. Yeah. So it's upon us.
It's fucking upon us. It's getting close. So I'm hoping McLaren, you know, I hope this doesn't just blow up in their face. I hope, you know, this ballsy attitude, they're like, you know what? We're fucking winning this one. We're going to at least win a few races. We're going to give the middle finger to Red Bull. We're going to give the middle finger to Max Verstappen. This is not going to be Max this year. This is McLaren's year.
I know you're a Red Bull fan, but at the same time, aren't you kind of excited to see the competition?
Oh, dude, I'm excited to see McLaren win.
Yeah.
I want to see Lando get that win.
Yeah.
He fucked up in Sochi, but I think this year it's his time. And if not him, you know Oscar's going to be right behind Lando.
Oh, yeah. Oscar's going to have a great year, too.
But what about the other teams?
I see us being very disappointed in the season and Red Bull just dominates again.
I think Red Bull's going to have a hard time dominating. I think they might win it, but I don't think it'll be like this past year where it was a long difference between first and second. No, I think they're going to be wiping their forehead halfway through the season going, how the fuck are we going to pull this off?
I think Mercedes is going to get worse.
I can see that. They fucked up the initial concept of the car.
They did. I don't see Ferrari getting any better either.
I do.
When?
I think, okay, look. I know historically Ferrari has been like, oh, it's the team principal's fault. Like, it's the head coach. It's not the players. Well, it's not the drivers in this case.
Not always the players.
It's everything else, but since Fred Vasseur has taken over the team, he's looked at it more like, okay, we fucked up. The strategy team fucked up. And Carlos Sainz, he's not taking it. He's going, fuck you, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do this. This is how we're going to do this next up. I'm not doing that. Do this, do that. And Charles is starting to get into it too. If you notice, Charles is starting to become more like, why the fuck are we doing that stupid bullshit?
And that'll either be really good for Ferrari or it'll be really good for Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz while they eventually go off and find new teams. Now, here's a wild card team.
Okay.
Aston Martin. How do you think they're going to do?
I think they're staying right where they're at right now. And I think they might do a little bit of a McLaren where they might not look good at the beginning of the season, but halfway through, they'll pick up the pace and they'll start looking good, but it'll be too late.
Yeah, so they're not going to move up or down.
No. I think the team that's going to completely flop is Haas. I see no future in them.
Yeah, no. Especially after getting rid of Gunther. There's no potential.
No, and everything I've heard, like, Gene is trying to make it just that it's Gunther's fault. And I've been watching some F1 podcasts and they're trying to pull the same thing. But the way I see it, it's like, okay, Gunther does deserve some of the blame just because they couldn't extract the most performance out of the car. But like we talked about it, I think 2 weeks ago, it's not his fault.
No.
You're running parts that are incompatible with your entire car. You're not making anything in-house that you can do, but you can buy it off somebody. So it's the way this team is run. I don't see it doing any good. And the longer they continue to be the sister team of Ferrari, you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, we're not getting anywhere with this podcast anymore, I believe.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to wrap this one up. What do you say?
Take us home, white boy.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Waterboy Experience. You can follow us on Twitter or on TikTok at the Waterboy Pod. Tune in next week to listen to the latest edition of the Waterboy Experience. And is there anything else I have to mention?
We might be taking a little break in between the Super Bowl and the Formula One season. And there may be a new podcast coming out in that time period.
Around that time. No sports podcast, just a new podcast.
Just a new podcast. We'll publish the first episode here as a special, because we could do that. It's going to be a special, and then I don't know if we're going to release in a second episode right away, because it's a podcast where we want to see how it's going, and we just want to give people a little taste of what's to come, mostly because the research is taking far longer than I imagined. So long.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot more work than this podcast.
Yeah, because all I got to do is edit everything, look up some news throughout the week, which, by the way, even if we weren't doing this podcast, we'd be still sending each other news stuff about Formula One, about NFL, about sports in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's already in our face. We might as well just go ahead
and talk about it.
Talk about it.
And like Pat McAfee just one day sell out to ESPN.
Yeah, one day. Take the money and run.
Yeah. One final thing, though. Congratulations on getting married.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm now a married man.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. What does that make her? Is she the water wife or the water? No, she's like the water girl.
Well, the way things are running in your household, she's the general manager.
She's the head coach.
She's the head coach.
Thank you guys for this episode of the Waterboy Experience, and peace.
Second and goal just outside the 10. Carr zips it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone for the touchdown.